My name's Richard Mosley. I'm head of Universum's Global Employer Branding Academy, and I'd like to introduce you to a new 8-week blended learning course. We've designed this to provide you with all the guidance you need to succeed in employer branding today. It's a combination of face-to-face sessions and online learning modules that you can study in your own time. We're kicking off in London on April the 17th. Please check it out. We'd love to see you there.
Hey, son, Svason! It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. Virgin Atlantic, Virgin Mobile, Virgin Hotels, Virgin Trains, Virgin Active. The Virgin brand is used in many guises, but what about employer brand? This week, we'll learn how it's all tied together in one people promise. Let's start the show. Amy Sawbridge, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good. Now, who are you and what do you do?
Oh, I was going to say, it depends on what framing you want, but what do I do? Well, up until most recently, I was working as part of the global brand team at Virgin Group. And my particular responsibilities were working with all of the Virgin companies globally on anything relating to people and culture. So whilst I sat in the brand team, which most people think of as being kind of consumer facing, at Virgin, we definitely consider brand to be far more holistic than that.
Yeah, I think you're being modest there. You, in fact, you're head of employee experience at Virgin Group.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So my first question is, what's the definition of employee experience?
God, that's a really tough one. and I think the thing that I'm learning as the more I talk to people about this is there is no one definition, I think, that everybody kind of signs up to. For me, when I think about employee experience, I think about the environment that we create for our people at Virgin. That is consistent with what the brand stands for, and that ensures that throughout all of the employees' journey with us, that we are creating, I guess, the best kind of environment and culture to enable them to thrive in, but one that is unique to our organisation and our brand.
Okay, great. And I know you were also responsible for employer brand. So my follow-up question here is, what's the relationship between employee experience and employer brand?
I think they're very closely aligned. And actually, I get quite frustrated when people look at either in isolation, and particularly, I guess, when people look at employer brand in isolation from an employee experience. So for me, understanding what your employer brand is essential to them being able to deliver a true and authentic employee experience. Your employee experience of the brand should be absolutely in line with all of the other brand experiences that your business creates. The employer branding element of it, I guess, is then when you think about how do you present that. Either to your employees or to the wider public or even your customers. And so it has to be based on your true employee experience, but it is a much more, the branding element is where you're actually being much more mindful about how you talk about who you are and what you stand for, whereas the experience is clearly how your people feel.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so talk us through about the culture of Virgin. What's it like on the inside?
So I think one of the things that's worth mentioning, because the Virgin Group is a really interesting structure, one size definitely doesn't fit all. You know, we have businesses in our group that range from, 10 employees through to 13,000. We have some businesses that are essentially just, fledgling startups through to other companies that are over 30 years old. We operate in more than 30 countries and in multiple sectors. So you know, there will be nuances to our culture as a result of all of those factors. However, there is absolutely a sort of, we often refer to it as a red thread, you know, these common themes that unite all of the Virgin companies. And that's largely centered around our purpose and our values. Our values are often interpreted slightly differently in each of the different businesses, depending on their particular circumstances and what's most meaningful for them. But the essence of them remains true across the board. And I think, you know, I guess to pull out a couple of examples of what our culture is like, we typically have a bit of an allergic reaction to formality and anything that's a bit too structured and a bit too process driven. And one of the things that came out actually when we went through a process to define our employer brand or our people promise, as we call it, it appears that there are certain elements of our culture that feel a bit contradictory. So we refer to them as our creative tensions. So I'll give you a couple of examples. So one component of our culture is there's a real sense of family and familiarity. But at the same time, there's a real restlessness about us and we don't like to get too comfortable. And you could potentially sort of see those as sitting on either end of the spectrum. But what we've, I guess, and what that's proved to be valuable to help us to do is where the culture might feel slightly off kilter, it's probably down to the balance not being, you know, completely fine-tuned between some of these creative tensions that we've identified.
Interesting. Okay, and you mentioned the values and purpose. What is the is there a singular purpose for Virgin?
Yeah. Well, again, there is a purpose that is true across all of the businesses at its core, but again is articulated differently in each of the businesses depending on again what's most material for them. But at a group level. And I guess the sort of the organising principle, if you like, for all of the purposes across the different companies is changing business for good. And that is essentially, I guess, our articulation of how we put people and planet alongside profit. And that it's, I think it also reflects our reputation as being a kind of consumer champion, that sort of sense of changing and wanting to challenge the status quo. That's also, you know, core to who we are as a brand and our culture. But the for good element clearly can be interpreted in two different ways. One is that it's a sort of a permanent change, but the other is that it's a change for the better and for, I guess, broader societal good.
Yeah. Okay, great. And Virgin is very much associated with its founder, Richard Branson. How much of Richard Branson is actually, you know, how much of the employer brand, employee experience is his making? How much is actually defined by the organization and he's just maybe perhaps set the tone?
Well, there's absolutely no doubt that he set the tone, but I think in the time that I've been that I was part of Virgin Management, so the sort of central part of the group, I think it was clear that his influence is really strong through our culture and through the values, even the way that our leaders lead. That, you know, that we did some work a few years ago to try and define the essence of great Virgin leadership. And again, we started from a research perspective of, you know, blank canvas, no predetermined views on this. And what came out when we interviewed our people to understand their experiences of great Virgin leadership, so many of the elements are consistent with Richard's ethos and philosophy around how to lead. So, with, you know, there was no sort of force fitting there, if you like. It is absolutely threaded through the business and the brand more strongly than, if I'm honest, than I originally thought it would be when I moved across from Virgin Media.
So it validated Richard Branson's management style. Great.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. And so a company like Virgin, which most people argue that it's a very enviable brand, mm-hmm. you know, corporate brand, consumer brand, why does it still need an employer brand?
Well, there's a few reasons for that. I think often when a brand is very well known, and particularly if it's a consumer-facing brand, that actually can be a bit of a double-edged sword, because it means that people have many assumptions about what you would be like to work for. And I think Virgin over the years has presented as being a really, you know, fun place to work. Richard, again, you know, has that a public persona that is, you know, he doesn't take himself too seriously. He's always up for some, you know, larks. But the reality is that we work really very hard. And so I think that, yeah, the brand is a wonderful asset for us, clearly, but it does mean that expectations are set that aren't necessarily always always accurate or always fair, in fact. But I think also, you know, having, as I mentioned, you know, having the group structure that we do, there is a risk that there are inconsistencies in somebody's experience of the Virgin brand, depending on which company they are in contact with. And so for me, one of the reasons why defining our employer brand, because of course we had one, whether we you know, whether we were conscious of it or not, but the purpose for defining it for me was to enable us to be much more consistent across the Virgin companies, so that we really focused on those things that were our unique points of difference. It allows us to be much more proactive and deliberate in how we represent ourselves externally. So there's much more consistency and coherence in how we do that. And to ensure that that is aligned with all of the other brand experiences and brand representation. So it means working really closely with people from other teams in our businesses to make sure that we are presenting just, you know, a different sort of side of the coin, as it were, but we are still very much presenting our brand. And finally, for me, this goes back to the employee experience piece, which is to serve as a sort of framework, if you like, to guide the people teams across the Virgin companies when they are developing or evolving their people practices, whatever they are, their employee experiences, that is absolutely in line with this articulation of our employer brand.
So talk us through the way you did this work to define the global Virgin employer brand, because I can imagine with a distributed company like Virgin Group, I mean, focus groups and surveys, there must be a very sophisticated, lots of layers there. And how did you go about then launching this?
So I worked with an agency. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to give them a name check.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I worked with an agency called PeopleMade, who were fabulous, and I would highly recommend them to anyone. Indeed, I have, because they really partnered with us. So they were kind of an extended part of our team, essentially. And as you said, we did go through kind of multiple listening, forms of listening. We conducted a number of interviews with various senior executives, including our chief people officers or our people directors. They will have slightly different job titles. We also created various focus groups. We have what is essentially an internal communications platform that works across the group. So we used an opportunity to speak directly to our people to get their feedback. And we also tapped into where the businesses had already done some work themselves to define probably an employee value proposition. But, you know, there was a lot of data and insight, as well as existing versions within particular Virgin companies that we could draw from to make sure that we were building on solid foundations rather than starting from scratch. And obviously, we paid an awful lot of attention to what we know about our brand already, i.e. our purpose, our values, and worked closely with the consumer brand team to make sure that we were incorporating all of those kind of components, including things like tone of voice, etc. And we actually created three building blocks that then gave rise to the people promise. The first was putting some, I guess, characteristics to our culture. Certainly there's characteristics that are common across all of the Virgin companies. We then looked at the characteristics of somebody who thrives in a Virgin environment, because the reality is that we're not for everyone. And then the third building block was to get a deeper understanding of what our people expect from us in return. And then that gave rise to the promise.
And the promise, the people promise is there a tagline?
Well, actually, what sort of emerged through the research, without it being forced, is that our purpose really, really resonates for our employees. There's a real sense of wanting to make a positive difference and wanting that to be beyond, you know, just coming in and doing a great job, albeit that's highly important. So we used changing business for good, I guess, as the sort of the central component of the people promise. But what we realised was that we needed to, almost sort of do a little bit further sort of sense making for people in terms of what did that actually look like on a day-to-day basis. And so then we created four pillars that essentially underpin that. And the pillars work as two pairs. So the first pair is be yourself and go together. And the important thing there for us was that they have to work in hand in glove. Being yourself, it is great, but you have to do it recognizing that you are part of a team, hence the sort of going together, and that you need to be working as one. And that plays out beautifully, again, given that we often refer to ourselves as a family of companies. So there's real value in the fact that there are multiple Virgin companies sharing the same brand. And then the second pair is work hard and dream big. And we had a real debate about work hard, because I was a bit concerned that it might be inverted and people think of it as hard work, which is very different. But actually, again, we decided that we needed to be true and truthful in what our people promise is, and we do work really hard. That came through really loud and clear in all of our listening. But the dream big, you know, again, there's a real ambition and aspiration in our group of companies, which is a really exciting place to be, but it needs to be put into action. So that's why the two have to work together. Because it's all very well having loads of great dreams, but if you can't make them a reality, then they're a bit pointless. But equally, you know, there is an aspiration and an ambition that we hope inspires people who work for us.
Yeah, and I think just reading Richard Branson's books, this Dream Big is a concept which is like a red thread through the chapters. It's always like someone who's worked in a stockroom for 2 years, and he came to them and said, "Let's build an airline," and I said, "Yes, let's do it."
Yeah,
I mean, wrote a plan on a napkin.
No, that's true. I mean, they sound like they can't possibly be true, but they are. One of Richard's sayings is, you know, the answer is yes. Now, what was the question? You know, You know, you kind of hear it. And I think in many cases, you know, and I can be a bit of a cynic, you might sort of think, oh, yeah, really, that doesn't happen. But actually, it actually does with Richard. And we're very fortunate that, you know, most of the time it works out well in some way, shape or form. But I think Richard's also, you know, a strong advocate for the fact that if something doesn't work in the way that you thought it might, then all is not lost. And, you know, either you iterate and you try again, or you put it down to good experience and you make sure that you weave that learning into your next adventure, whatever that might be.
Yeah, great. Okay, so defining the global employer brand people promise, how long did that take from end to end?
Actually, not quite as long as people might think. It probably took us, the definition phase didn't take us any longer than 6 months. The rollout phase obviously is a bit longer, and is still ongoing. And I suspect as we've said, I've recently left Virgin, but I anticipate that that will always be a work in progress. And I think that's as it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you created that for the Virgin Group, how did it then work to try to get this adopted into the group companies? Was it more like a, here's a suggestion, you may want to do this, or was it enforced on them?
No, there's no enforcement in the group, again, partly because of our structure, from a kind of a legal perspective. But to be perfectly honest, my approach to the role that I was doing whilst I was at Group was always, it's got to stand upon its own merits. And if it's not compelling to the businesses, then, I've not done my job properly, essentially. And I'm very pleased to say, actually, this probably is my proudest achievement of the time that I worked at Virgin, because the adoption rate and the appetite from the companies to take it and run with it and make it their own has been phenomenal, and by far the best received piece of work that we've ever co-created with the businesses. So we essentially acted as sort of internal consultants to the businesses. I mean, they'd been part of the, as I said, they've been part of the development of this. So it's not like it was a kind of, ta-da moment at the end. But what we did was work through with the businesses, kind of, as I said, as internal consultants to help them get their arms around it. We created a playbook or a toolkit to help them think about how they might go about embedding it into their own businesses, but they've all kind of gone and done their own thing, as is again going to be most valuable to them. And then we've been sharing the stories between the companies so that they can learn from each other, because there isn't one right way of doing this, and where they can learn and kind of adapt what somebody else has done to avoid reinventing the wheel or duplicating them. That's an approach we've always taken. So essentially, there is no one size fits all in terms of how it's been adopted, but it has been really positively received, which is fantastic from my perspective. And then there have been some activities that the team have delivered at a group level. And essentially, our role is probably more about amplification and helping a more organised approach in terms of how we communicate our employer brand externally, how we use our internal channels to ensure that we're telling that story to our existing employees. But also because, as I mentioned at the start, that my team sat as part of the global brand team, or I still do sit as part of the global brand team, our role was to ensure that, all of the different component parts that makes up brand, including customer experience, brand strategy, external relations, marketing, that they all have an understanding of this and are able to really leverage it to the advantage of the brand overall.
Great. Okay. And I'm interested in a few of the other activities you were doing in the employee experience space. You built a powerful collective of Virgin people experts. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, that's essentially, it sounds kind of possibly slightly grander than it is, but that's essentially really getting the businesses to work effectively together. When I moved across from Virgin Media to Virgin Group about 6 years ago, the degree of collaboration and co-creation that was happening then was not quite where we wanted it to be. And that's partly because, quite frankly, the businesses are all under the usual operating pressures that you would expect any commercial entity to be operating under. And so sometimes it can be quite difficult to lift your head up and look at the opportunity by working more effectively together. So one of the first things that was, I guess, a kind of core objective for me when I first moved across was how to really build that sense of community ensure that the expertise that we had within the group was being fully leveraged to the benefit of all, and that it allowed us to, I guess, put our minds to what did we want our legacy to be, and how could we have a much more valuable impact to the Virgin brand at a sort of a master brand level, if you like, rather than being constrained by the limits of each individual Virgin company.
Great. Okay. And tell us about this employee discount scheme that you roll out.
Well, so I inherited that. So the employee discount scheme, which was called Virgin Tribe, had been in existence for a really long time. As the group grew, people expected, you know, when a new Virgin company was created, the employees from another Virgin company wanted and expected a discount or whatever. So that's how it started out life. But about, I guess, about 4 years or so ago, 4 or 5 years ago, we recognized that actually it wasn't fit for purpose anymore. It was a white labeled platform, and the platform was fine, but it didn't feel like a brand asset. It wasn't a unique tool for Virgin people. So we reimagined it. We redesigned it. We rebuilt it. And now discounts still feature in it because that's kind of a hygiene factor. Mm. But it is much more about how do we engage our global community across, all the countries and all the businesses that we operate. How do we help them to really feel part of something bigger? So how do we help them understand what's going on across the group? How do we help them connect and communicate with each other? And really feel part of something unique that only being an employee of a Virgin company can give you access to. So it's really morphed from the discount scheme, and there's loads more that we want to do with that. But essentially, it's how do we build brand advocacy amongst our employees and help them do their jobs better. Through the connections that they can make across the group, but also through really understanding what the brand is all about.
Yeah, I think that's super important. That Virgin employees, whichever company they're in, that they're using and have experience from products and services and people from across the business. Mm. You also have, I know you've done work on a group-wide approach to diversity and inclusion. What did that look like at Virgin?
Yeah, so again, a real challenge because operating in the different countries that we're operating in, has quite an influence in terms of how you approach diversity and inclusion. You know, we are operating in some countries where there is less of a developed understanding, I might say, in terms of the value of diversity. So again, it's just one of the challenges when you work in a kind of in a multinational organization. And also, we didn't want to be overly prescriptive. We never are, actually, at a group level. But we felt really passionately the topic around diversity and inclusion. We wanted to create a philosophy and a framework that the businesses could refer to. But again, you know, in the interest of the fact that we are a very diverse group and the interest of being inclusive, we wanted to allow them to adapt that as best for them. And the other thing to point out was, as part of our people promise, the Be Yourself and Go Together for us acted as our framing for diversity and inclusion. So Be Yourself was our sort of is our reference point for diversity, and Go Together is our reference point for inclusion. And so the wonderful thing about that is it meant that all of our activities relating to this were a core part of our people promise rather than being a separate activity that sat on the side, which I think is absolutely essential. This is not a project. This is something that has to be threaded through everything that you do in the employee experience. So essentially the philosophy was sort of was a set of principles that we hoped kind of guided the businesses as to how they set about being more mindful and more proactive in creating an inclusive environment for people from all different walks of life to thrive in. So again, it's a philosophy as opposed to a policy. It's a framework as opposed to a mandate.
Got it. Okay, great. Any other initiatives you're particularly proud of that we have not discussed?
No, I think we've touched on certainly the highlights for me in the time that I'd spent at group level. I mean, I was very fortunate to have an awful lot of autonomy and opportunity, and I think through that, it really developed our understanding as a brand in terms of the role of our employer brand as part of our master brand strategy. It's given us an awful lot of opportunity to really think ahead in terms of what are the things that are most important to people in their working life. And, you know, going back to Richard, I think we've been very fortunate that had a leader who truly does understand the importance of employees in order to deliver commercial success at the end of the day.
Yeah. Okay. And are there any hard lessons that you learned along the journey that you can share with us?
Well, specifically an employer brand, I think that there's a bit of a challenge, which is that there are a lot of people in the business who just won't get it and won't get the significance of it. And in some cases, that's because they just can't understand it. In other cases, and I think this is a slightly more dangerous one, they say they understand it, but their interpretation is probably slightly limited. So I do get quite frustrated when people talk about employer brand, but actually they're meaning EVP for talent attraction. So I think continuing to sort of help people understand the breadth of employer brand and the fact that it has to be grounded in reality, hence why I believe that employee experience and employer brand are inextricably linked. That was a lesson. Certainly, as we've been looking to embed the employer brand at Virgin, both at group level and across the Virgin companies. I think the other thing that it's not necessarily a lesson that I learned, but it was something that was reinforced through the process, is that every single person in your business impacts your employer brand. So the more that you can do to really co-create it and engage people along the way to help them understand the role that they play in bringing that brand to life, the better. You know, the many hands make light work, I guess, is probably the shorthand for that.
Not too many chefs spoil the broth. The opposite. No, you want people on board, of course.
You do, but yeah. I think it depends on you know, and you can go to all sorts of different models for this, but there, you know, you need a tight team, obviously, to define it, but then you've got to make sure that people get it. Yeah. and people buy it. And actually, maybe that's one of the lessons. After we landed on the final version of the People Promise, and I spent obviously a lot of time speaking to a lot of the senior execs, probably one-to-ones actually, to help them or to bring them, you know, through the journey that we'd been on, so that they could, I guess, hopefully give us their approval, which they all did. I was really underwhelmed by their response. They kind of all looked at it and went, yeah, that makes sense. Good. Yeah. And I was sort of hoping, because I love our People Promise. I think it's beautifully simple and it's using proper, you know, day-to-day language. It's not overly, you know, branded or anything like that. So I was really, really proud of it. And I was kind of hoping, you know, that I'd get lots of, fanfare, you know, trumpet sounds when, you know, I sort of presented it to people. But actually, I worked out that the responses that I was getting were the best responses I could get, because it was obviously absolutely on the money, because people just went, yeah, that feels right. So a few people I've spoken to subsequently who have been looking to do this in their own businesses, I've decided to sort of pre-warn them that actually that's a really good sign if you get that response, but it might not be the one that you wanted after all of those months of hard work.
Yeah, okay. That's good to know. Great. And if we look at results, so you rolled out this new people promise. Do you have any specific metrics that you look at to measure the employer brand?
Yeah, we do. But again, each of the businesses will have their own set. But there are a number of questions that were asked in many of the employee surveys that that enable us to measure how well we're delivering against the promise. But there are also some other hard metrics that we gather information every year from the Virgin companies on the sort of fairly standard kind of people stats, I guess. But we can check things through in terms of, are we creating more effective talent pipeline? Are we reducing employee turnover? Are we getting more positive reputation, external reputation ratings, et cetera, et cetera? So there are a number of kind of hard measures that we can, and are tracking alongside the sort of reporting from our people in terms of how well they feel that we're delivering against the promise.
Okay, and lots of employer brand managers are listening to this right now. What would be your top tips to them?
Well, I guess I've given a couple in terms of my lessons learned.
Yeah.
But I feel really passionately about don't try to retrofit your employer brand to any of the other sort of, values or purpose or mission that sit within the business, because it's an opportunity as you go through the process to define your employer brand to really understand what is actually going on. I think one of the challenges in a lot of businesses is they might have a set of values that aren't truly embedded. And if you start there, then your brand actually won't end up being authentic. It will just be kind of an aspiration, if you like. I think one of the other things that is a tip, again, from learned from personal experience, is being aware of the kind of complexity of the what I've referred to as the brand ecosystem. And I mean, that's possibly not the right name for it, but Virgin is probably quite typical of a lot of businesses where there are a plethora of words, let alone models and concepts that are in place when it comes to people and brand and marketing, etc. And it's just, how do all these things sit together? How does your employer brand sit alongside and integrate with your consumer brand, with your values, with your purpose, etc.? And just make sure that you can get a really clean and clear articulation or representation of all of that, because otherwise it's just going to serve to confuse people more, I think.
Yeah. Okay, got it. So final question, where can our listeners learn more about the work that you do, and where can they connect with yourself?
Well, I as I said to you, I'm kind of early days embarking on a new adventure for me. So LinkedIn is probably the best place for me right now. I'm ashamed to admit that I'm not at all active on Twitter, but I recognise I need to get a little bit better at doing that kind of thing. But yeah, LinkedIn is the best place.
So I think Richard Branson's got like 12 million followers or something. So
he's got a ridiculous quantity.
Got some catching up to do.
Me included. Oh, I know. I will never compete with him. But it's fantastic the popularity that he has on LinkedIn, and it just goes to show the value that he continues to add to the business world, actually.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, this has been super useful. Thank you so much, Amy.
My pleasure.
All right, I hope that was useful. Everything Amy and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which you'll be able to find at employerbrandingpodcast.com. All right, so here's my take. If employer brand as a category and function is going to grow and become a strategic part of the corporation, we have to provide structure, education, and support networks. This is why Link Humans has teamed up with the Employer Branding Academy to deliver what I believe is the best employer brand course and qualification available. Here in London, we will host the kickoff at the brand new Facebook offices on the 17th of April. You'll learn how dozens of real life business cases from leading companies. You'll equip yourself with skills, tools and knowledge required in employer brand. And of course, Facebook will present their approach to culture and purpose, as well as give you a nice tour around the offices. Do not miss the donut bar, that's all I can say. Now, there's only 13 seats left right now, so if you're interested, please let me know ASAP. You'll find my contact details in the description of this podcast. Feel free to ping me at jorgen@linkhumans.com or just reach out on LinkedIn. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for tuning in, and I look forward to catching up with you next time. Hey do!
Why does Edward Woodward have four D's in his name?
No idea.
Because otherwise he'd be Iwa Wuwa.